What is up, everybody? Welcome to the UFC 301 recap. I'm your host, Jalen. My boy, Eric, how we doing?
Doing pretty great, man. I'm excited for this flyweight division again after Steve Ursag breathed a little fresh air into it. Even if he didn't get the job done, I think he still put on a great performance, as good as you can in a loss, and he's not going anywhere anytime soon. So I think the card turned out better than I expected as well. A lot of good fights on there.
Yeah, definitely. I think, I mean, obviously hard to follow UFC 300 in Brazil, wasn't as hyped. The media coverage wasn't as big. But I think as far as like for what we thought this card was going to be, I think it exceeded those expectations. I mean, obviously the main event was a great fight and still Alexander Pantoja. Jose Aldo comes back, dominant performance. Anthony Smith, early submission. Michelle Pereira, early submission. Coelho Borello, knockout. Like, great card all around. I mean, let's get into the first hit and still Alexander Pantoja. What do you think about that fight?
Bro, great fight, dude. People hate on Alexandre Pantoja, and I don't know why. He's an exciting champ. His last three fights have been very good, exciting fights. The Royval one wasn't quite on the level of the Moreno fight and this one, but he goes to war in there. Even when the, I feel like one thing that I kept saying during the fight is every single time the tide would start to turn against Pantoja a little bit, he would do something. He would dig deep and just find a way to get on top, get it to the ground, get the advantage again. And he just did that over and over and over. He's the definition of championship mentality, championship metal in there. And I'm a Pantoja fan. I bet against him this time and he made me pay for it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's like he said, like you got to go in there with a gun or something to beat him, or you got to kill him. And that's kind of just how he is. I mean, even, you know, going into that fifth round, everyone had it 2-2 winner that round, and he dug deep, took advantage of Ursag's mistakes and just finds a way to grind out wins. That's what it's about, man. Like, you look at all these like reigning champions, all these guys, like we talk about the like Israel Adesanya run, like the Volk run, like there was a lot of fights in those where it was just like not impressive or stuff like that. But I mean, it's got to be your night, and sometimes you're off night, but it's like, it's just like, I mean, it's obviously different than like football or basketball. There's so many games, but like, in fighting, you fight 2-3 times a year. Like, it's might not always be your night, but can you win when you don't have your best stuff? Can you win when you're down? Can you win when things aren't going your way, when you don't feel good? And that's what Pantoja does, and that's how you reign a champion. That's how you have a long championship run.
Hell yeah, dude, that fired me up right there. I do have to say, I think Ursag did more damage in the fight, but Pantoja definitely won more rounds.
So what did you have it? Did you have it 3-2?
Yeah, I had it 2-2 going into the fifth, as most people did, I believe, and Pantoja won the fifth round. So the way that MMA is scored right now, can't argue the fact that Pantoja won, but there's a good argument for the damage over control time in this fight, definitely.
So did Pantoja beat Ursag, or did Ursag beat himself?
Bro, it feels like if he just keeps it on the feet in that fifth round, he outstrikes Pantoja and he wins that fight. Yeah. Because it was... it was 2-2 going into the fifth, and one judge was on some bullshit. He had Pantoja winning four rounds in the fight, but the other two judges had it 2-2 going into that fifth round, so it did decide the fight. And it was going all right, I'd say. It was about even until Ursag tried to shoot for that takedown, and his reasoning for it wasn't terrible reasoning. He said he was trying to mix it up, tire Pantoja out so he could really outclass him on the feet. Which I kind of understood, because Ursag was getting it going later in the rounds, every round it felt like. So I get where he's coming from. It's a split-second decision in there, so it's freaking brutal.
Yeah.
And, dude, that right elbow into the left hook that Ursag threw a few times, that was disgusting. I wouldn't be surprised if we see that a lot more frequently.
Yeah, I definitely think, I mean, Ursag showed that he was the right guy for that fight. He belonged there. I mean, he's 5 minutes away from being a world champ. He made a couple mistakes, but I mean, it wasn't like he got ran through or he didn't belong there. He was literally in the fight when the fifth ranked. So I think that he's obviously going to be back. how soon, and the path is different. It's weird because we had this conversation earlier in the week when I was saying, like, as far as his ranking, I don't think he should go down. I personally think he should go up. It's a different situation because he wasn't a top five guy. He wasn't a top seven guy. He was, what, 10, 9?
Yep. He's up to 9 now, and I think he was 10 before the fight. So
yeah,
went up one
so
spot.
It's like you got the 10 guy versus the 1 guy. No one gave him a chance. If you told anybody, I think, during the week that it was going to be tied going into the fifth, they would have said no way. So he exceeded expectations. So I think let's reward him. Let's get him in the top seven, top eight. Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a rare occasion where I think he should go up personally. And he did.
Mm-hmm. Dude, I don't know who he should fight next. It's a rarity because there's actually a lot of options for him. Most of the flyweights have all fought each other.
Too, because, like, does he go a title eliminator right away next? Does he get a top three, top four guy? Or, like, he's still 9. So does he go from 10 fighting the championship to 9 fighting, like, 2 or 3? If that's the case, just put him at, like, 4 or 5, you know?
Yeah, that kind of does make me think that they might give him a not title eliminator next. Maybe a Manel Capé? That'd be pretty tough. I think Capé just had to pull. He just had to pull out of his fight, I'm pretty sure. So that would be a banger. I was thinking Kai Kara of France as well. I think that falls into that tier. That wouldn't be a title eliminator, but that would be a sweet fight as well. That would be huge over there in Australia because they're both from there.
Yeah.
CKB versus a non-CKB guy.
Yeah, I like Ursic though, man. He showed me a lot. Definitely, you know, I was kind of iffy. I would have bet Pantoja, but we made out on the card. We were talking, my formula worked to perfection. We got it to a T. We'll get into the other ones, but I said either Paul Craig, Io Portiera, or Anthony Smith wins, you profit, bet all three money lines. They're big dogs. Anthony Smith came up clutch. And then, after the profit, I went Aldo, and then the good bet, I felt like a genius. We went Ursig inside the distance and then Pantoja by decision.
Mm-hmm.
So we profited on that, both plus money. Just had to win one of those. But yeah, it was, I think that if you put this card not after 300 and not in Brazil, I think it's people are talking about like it was a really great, really good card.
Hell yeah, completely agreed. And none of the fights disappointed, which is pretty rare. On most cards, there's at least one or two fights that are a little underwhelming.
Yeah.
Dude, Jose Aldo.
Let's go to Pantoja first. What is next for Pantoja?
It's a tough one, dude, because it's kind of back to square one where it was before they announced the Steve Ursig title shot. I mean, in the rankings, they have Roy Val at 1, Moreno at 2. Those both aren't possibilities because he's beaten both of those guys recently. Amir Albazi at 3, Kai Kara at 4, Alex Perez at 5. I'm kind of thinking it's going to be Amir Albazi next, which I'm not super excited about. It might be a sick grappling fight, though, honestly. Or maybe Muhammad Mokaev, but I think they probably go Albazi, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah, he was supposed to be the next guy. I think he'll be the next guy. I don't know. I mean, it obviously feels like with Pantoja, he never wins pretty. He never wins. So, like, any night he could lose it. It's what it feels like. But he just finds a way to grind it out. And the more he stacks these ugly wins or he grinds out these wins, just the more experience he has. And it gets these later rounds. I mean, you could tell, like, in the fourth, fifth, obviously, like, Ursig, it was just different. Like, Ursig didn't know how to be there in a championship fight in the fifth round. Pantoja's been there. So, it's just, like, the experience that he gets on these fights. Like, Pantoja's getting a lot of title fights under his belt.
Yep, and I believe he did say he also wants to take some time off because he's fought in 3 times in the last 12 months. So I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see him back in action for a decent amount of time, maybe even till next year.
Yeah.
So flyweight division might look a little different next time he's back in action. Thought Ciro Tyra might be up there. He got booked on the McGregor card, I think, or one of the pay-per-views. So we'll be on the lookout for him as well.
Yeah, definitely. Now we get into your guy, Jose Aldo. What a legend. God,
the king
man.
Of Rio. The so king good. Of Rio defends his crown, man.
I'm so glad we talked about this on the pod like last week, how we were just like, he's really like never like hit the cliff or never like, he was still like that guy.
Mm-hmm.
God, he was so good. He was so fast.
Can we call that a masterclass?
God, bro. Like, obviously it's a masterclass in itself, but just everything that's like retired, came back, like, dude, it was ridiculous. He was so, he looked almost better.
He did, bro. The break, the time off might have really just made him fresh.
Straight boxing for the time he was off. His boxing looked so good.
Yeah,
he was going to the body so fast. Like, oh my god. Mm-hmm.
He did have that bare knuckle fight, right? Against Jeremy Stevens, I think.
I don't think it was bare knuckle. I think they boxed on Masvidal's card, but they boxed.
Yeah. Dude, he looked so good. When he had that takedown, when he just flipped Martinez over, I said, it's over. It's over. Obviously, it's never over in a fight, but at that point, it looked pretty good.
Yeah, dude, I was so glad I had money on him, dude. That was one of the easiest ones I've ever had. Ooh. It was just a joy to watch.
Our guy Garrett with a good segue here. Watch out, Suge. Aldo said he wants to be fast-tracked to the title. What's your opinion on that? Stacked division, obviously. If it was flyweight or light heavyweight, I think he gets the green light. But he's a legend.
I personally think obviously the way the division shakes out, it's no one's fault. It's the way it's supposed to go. But like at some point, you gotta start giving Sugar some like not favorable matchups, but like if he beats Marab, like, bro, I gotta get a striker. I'm not fighting another fucking wrestler.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Corey. I don't see why not.
You don't lose anything, I don't think, because obviously Sugar Jose is a big time fight. You could sell that fight, it'd be a huge fight. Huge, huge fight. And I don't think you like, I think my thing with this is like, I think why the UFC was so hesitant on the Marab situation is because there's some thought in their mind that Marab can win that fight. And we've talked about it. He could win that fight. But I don't think they want Marab to be champion. I don't think the UFC would mind a Jose Aldo champion.
Not one bit. Better than Marab, definitely.
But that's how you get those fights. Like, that's how, like, I mean, that's why we're talking about, like, Urseg. Like, there must be something there with Urseg that we're missing, because for them to put him in this spot and have a chance to win a fight, like, you have to be fine with this guy being the champion.
Yeah, so it's just tough, though, because bantamweight is so stacked. Do you skip him over the winner of Umar and Corey? They just got announced for August. So
that's what I'm saying, bro. I think if it's Corey, you go Corey. If it's Umar, you just can't go back-to-back wrestlers, bro. You're not putting one of the faces of the company in a good spot. Eventually, he's going to lose, bro. If he fights Marab and then Umar, that's 3 out of 4 wrestlers he's fought.
He could just be the GOAT if he beats them all.
It's not fun. It's not fun.
Yeah, it's definitely not as fun when it's a grappler compared to a striker. Yeah. Because when we were prepping for the Aljo fight, the whole time we're just thinking, we got to stay on the feet.
And like, but none of the Aljo fight was fun except the last moment.
It was stressful, bro. It was stressful the whole time.
But like, you look at the like Cheeto fight, like that was fun.
Facts, just a beatdown, or every other Sugar fight up until the Aljo fight.
Yeah.
And do you think Jose has a chance against Sugar? I mean, I personally, he looked really good, but I just think Sugar is too sharp, too fast, too focused, too young.
Let me ask you this. Today, this moment, where do you set the line at for a Jose and Cheeto fight?
Oh, Jose minus 350.
Whoa, really?
I mean, he already beat him pretty good once.
Then you'd have to say that, I mean, obviously, Sean 50-45 Cheeto, but like, you'd have to say then that Jose has a chance then, because he took Sean to the distance.
Yeah, that's true, but I mean, Sugar whooped Cheeto. Cheeto's chin is just on another level. I think 90% of fighters get finished in that fight, but that is fair.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't mind it, bro. I'm tired of seeing him fight these wrestlers. Obviously, I'm excited because it's Sugar Sean, but like, I don't know. The Marab fight's just not really getting me hard.
I'm excited just to see him put Marab's lights out and for all the haters to go away and scurry back in their little holes, dude. Because right now, they love saying Marab's just going to bully Sugar. He's going to ragdoll him. I just think Sugar's a world-class athlete, and I don't think Marab is. Sugar's part of that next era of people that are going to be pro MMA fighters in 10 years that grow up doing this, and they are athletic enough to maybe go D1 in a sport, but they started fighting before that, and they're putting all that focus into fighting. I think Sugar's on that level. I don't think Marab is. I don't think Umar is, so I don't know. They don't worry me. I'm fine with anyone for our guy, Suge.
Yeah. Anthony Smith wins via sub. I was just thinking right now, a lot of this card, I mean, at least the last three fights had a lot to do with experience over youth. Mm-hmm. Alexander Pantoja obviously beats Ursek. Ursek made a couple costly mistakes. Jose Aldo, obviously the legend, beat Jonathan Martinez, just experience. Anthony Smith losing the fight until a mistake by Petrino.
Stupid, bro.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Just levels to the sport. Just levels.
Yeah, that's facts. I was a little worried. I put Petrino in a couple of parlays on fight day because I was just like, nah, Lionheart's not winning. And then I see he's 26 years old. That's very inexperienced. And Lionheart is very experienced. So that part did worry me a little bit, and it showed to play true.
Yeah, big time win from him. He's not far from a title lock. He's not far. Yeah,
he never is. He never is.
He always loses. It's always like, all right, if he loses this one, he's out. But then he wins it, and then he'll lose it, and then he'll come back. He's always like, right, he doesn't go away.
No, he just sticks around right there. He'll get
a big time fight and lose the next one.
Mm-hmm. Like kind of a gatekeeper, but not really, because he's just. Yeah. I don't know.
But it also has to do with the where that division stands, though. It's nothing. It's not like. It's just how the division is. If he was like in lightweight, it wouldn't be like that.
He'd be a forgotten man. Yeah.
Yeah. Michelle Pereira wins via sub. Illegal?
Dude, I mean, by the book, yeah. Right?
Yeah. I thought they were going to give me a no contest, bro. I was going to get my money back.
Dude, I was, yeah. I had something that would have, oh, I had Pereira by KO. So I was hoping that they would, I don't know. I was hoping they would call it like a KO somehow with his shin kicking him, but not DQ him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cool and all, it's sick, but technically it is, right? And it had to have affected
it's not black and white, bro. The rule is what the rule is, and that's what it happened.
Yeah. Or it is black and white.
It is black and white, yeah.
Yeah, I got you. But dude, 7 fight win streak for Pereira. When do we see him fight a contender in that division? He was supposed to fight Wonder Boy, but he obviously didn't make the weight.
I don't think you can trust him, bro. That's the reality. Can't trust you.
Yeah. I mean, this fight was at 185, I think. So I guess he might have to climb up the ranks again. But I mean, dude, they shouldn't be wasting this guy. He's a top 10, top 5 most entertaining fighter on the roster. And it's cool watching him crush cans, but it gets old after a while. You want to see him tested a little bit in there.
Yeah, definitely. He's really good. Paul Craig, bro, just looked bad.
Last arrow, bro. You could get away with that 10 years ago, being a specialist in something, but everybody's too good everywhere now. So he just, looked old, looked slow, looked bad, got knocked out. It was sad, bro. I like Paul Craig.
Yeah. Anyone else on the undercard that impressed you?
Oh, let me see what they got. There was a guy on the early prelims, Mauricio Rufi. I was going to put his highlights in here. I was going to do what I did for Peyton Talbot, but I forgot. Got a lot of Conor McGregor comparisons. It was his UFC debut. Finished Jamie Mullarkey at the end of the first round. This looked really clean, crisp. I personally wasn't thinking this guy looks like Conor in there, but the announcers kept on saying it, and, I mean, they know more than me, so there's got to be something there.
Yeah,
that guy was cool. And Joe Anderson Brito over Jack Shore with the leg kick stoppage with the cut. I was kind of weird because Jack Shore's team, I saw they posted today that the cut wasn't that bad and it was BS that they stopped the fight. It only needed a few stitches.
Yeah,
it was bleeding a lot. It's hard to tell how much that really affects you, because I remember it was Jan Blachowicz and Ankalaev. I think the same thing happened to Ankalaev's foot, but they kept the fight going and they fought like 4 more rounds. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Jack Shore might have got wronged a little bit there. I don't think he was going to beat Brito anyway, though, honestly. Solid card. Also sucks for the Brazilians because they're 4 hours ahead of us. Yeah. It was like 9:30 or 10.
That shit would suck, bro. I don't know how they do that shit. That shit's weird.
Dude, the England one is terrible.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like that at all, bro. I mean, I don't know. I personally, I like unless it's like a big time card, obviously in the USA. But like, I don't mind like cards starting early here.
I love it, bro. It's like
down for a prelim. Yeah, I'm down for a prelim starting at noon.
Yeah, wake up, get some coffee, eat some breakfast, start watching the early prelims. It's great. Even earlier, like if they're at 8 or 9, I don't mind that either.
Yeah, nah, I don't know about that one, but I don't mind the like the main card starting at 5 p.m. our time.
No, that's perfect, especially for a fight night. Like I almost don't like when a fight night goes all the way till 9:30 or 10 sometimes when you're just waiting for the main event and you want to go do something. But you got to watch this last fight.
Yeah.
Next pay-per-view, though, UFC 302. It's honestly sneaking up. It is in 3 weeks. Mm. Like 3.5. Islam Makhachev versus Dustin Poirier in New Jersey with Sean Strickland and Paulo Costa as the co-main event. They filled out the main card as well. We got Yalton Almeida taking on Alexander Romanov, which should be interesting. They're giving Almeida another good grappler. We'll see how he can handle that. And we've got Cesar Almeida taking on Roman Kopylov. Kopylov let me down at UFC 298, but, I mean, Fluffy Hernandez was a very good opponent. And then we got Randy Brown versus Elizio Zaleski dos Santos opening up the main card. So nothing insane, but it's solid.
Yeah. What I want to get into this, or we can, I don't want to skip the line here. Do you have any fight announcements? Those are the fight announcements.
I got a few more I was going to run through quick. I had a bunch, but then I was looking over them and I'm like, I don't think anyone wants to hear all these. At Louisville, Kentucky, Louisville, June 8th, no main event yet, but Raul Rosas, Ricky Tarucios rescheduled for that. Ooh. We'll see if that ends up being a Khabib, Tony Ferguson type fight where he keeps getting canceled.
Third time to come, right?
Let's hope so. And then opening up the main card, this one, I'm excited for this one. Dominic Reyes versus Dustin Jacoby.
Mm.
I feel like that's a big jump for Jacoby. I mean, he just lost to Alonzo Menyfield by unanimous decision. And now he's fighting Dominic Reyes. But at the same time, we don't really know what's left of Dominic Reyes. He could look amazing. He could look like Paul Craig did.
Yeah.
And then, sorry, a couple more. Saudi Arabia card. Whitaker versus Chimaev. I think we already touched on that one, but that main card is elite. It's technically a fight night, but it's basically a pay-per-view. McGregor versus Chandler, filling out a little bit more. Terrible card, honestly, so far. Jamal Hill, Khalil Roundtree, Cub Swanson, Andre Feely. That's a good one. Joe Pyfer, Mark Andre.
I like that one.
Myra Buena Silva, Macy Kieson. I mean, it's like likable fights, but not really marquee. They did put Peyton Talbot on there. I called that one. He's on the early prelims of the Conor card. Already has an opponent, Yanis Gemouri from France. He's moving down from featherweight, so Peyton should be able to put on a show. I think they're trying to give him someone that he can just go stupid on.
Yeah.
To kind of put him on the map. And then UFC 304 is in England, I believe. And then Sanhagen versus Umar Nurmagomedov is in Abu Dhabi on August 3rd. Fight night, I believe. Yeah, fight night.
So this week we are in St. Louis. Derek Lewis versus Rodrigo Nascimento. Black Beast. Is this the main event? Or you said it switched?
It is. Yeah, I was wrong. I was wrong. I have to make that clear. I said Joaquin Buckley got moved up. I thought he did, but it turns out he didn't. Unless our apps are all just lying to us. It looks like it's Derek Lewis versus Nascimento. They probably didn't want to change the posters and all that.
Derek Lewis, a favorite here.
Yeah, I get it. Nascimento hasn't really fought anyone amazing in his UFC career yet. He's 4-1. He got knocked out by one of the Dawkins brothers. Whichever one the heavyweight is.
Derek Lewis is the hardest person to bet on or against because if you bet on him, he just folds. And if you bet against him, he just somehow can be losing the whole fight and just knock somebody out. I hate betting on or against him. I'm staying away.
One of my biggest wins ever was him versus Curtis Blaydes when he knocked him out with the uppercut. I think he was like +200-300. He knocked him out. I was so happy. And then I lost my next two bets on Derek Lewis because of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, D. Lou coming off that brutal fight against Yalton Almeida. Not because he took a beating or anything like that, just because it was one of the most boring fights in UFC history. But he's been known to respond well. And last time we saw him against Rodrigo de Lima on the feet, able to really attack, he looked good. He got a flying knee knockout. So I'm expecting Derek Lewis to get another knockout here.
All right, I'm all for it. I want to talk about this Menfield and Ulbrich fight. What do you like here?
Bro, that's a good fight. I like Ulbrich, honestly. He's damn near undefeated in the UFC. His only loss was against Kennedy and our guy Kennedy. Yeah. That's a memorable fight. It was on Izzy's prelims, I think, against Jan Blachowicz, and he was whooping Kennedy.
Ulbrich won the Strickland fight that he was on Izzy card. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a while ago, but Ulbrich was whooping Kennedy, and then Kennedy has one of the craziest comebacks probably of the last decade and knocks out Ulbrich. That's his only loss, though. He's on a 5-fight winning streak since then. His caliber of opponents has been going up. Yeah. I think he's a top-level fighter, especially at light heavyweight. Makes it a lot easier to get up to the top. So I'm all over Ulbrich here. Oh, yeah. I forgot I had tells of the tapes, too. Let's see. Yeah. There it is. Minus 265, so Vegas agrees with me. Menfield, he's been doing decent lately. Had a good win against Dustin Jacoby, but I just think he's I take that back. 36 isn't that old for a light heavyweight. I gotta remember my scale. If you're a bantamweight, that's old. Light heavyweight, you're perfect.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, great card. I'm excited for this one. Live fight night. You know how I love them. Get a main card. We get a pay-per-view and then a live fight night back to back. The live fight nights are slowly creeping back, bro.
Bro. This one's going to be an all-timer, I think. I'm telling you, all these fights, I was looking at this one, and they are all big-time entertaining. This is the co-main right here. Joaquin Buckley versus Nuzulton Ruziboev. Feels like we just previewed both these guys, and we did. They fought on the last card of March. It was March 30th. Buckley had a quick finish over Vicente Luque, and Ruziboev was the one that had the eye poke against Cedricus Dumas.
Yeah,
so this is a crazy jump for Ruziboev, going from Dumas, who I think that was his third or fourth UFC fight, to fighting Joaquin Buckley. Buckley is undefeated at welterweight so far. He's looked really good down there. But honestly, I kind of like Ruziboev here. I was really high on him going into his last fight. He didn't really show me a reason to not be besides poking people in the eyes. So I'm sticking with him here. And we saw Buckley struggle against middleweights. Ruziboev is 6'5", so he's probably damn near middleweight, just cuts a lot of weight. And then I had a couple more. I had some quick analysis for, let me see, Diego Ferreira versus Matheus Rebecki. So Diego Ferreira, he was pretty close to the top about like 4 years ago. He beat Anthony Pettis, but then he had a 3-fight slide to Gamrot, Gregor Gillespie, and Benil Dariush. Then he knocked out Michael Johnson about a year ago with that. It was the one where Michael Johnson was snoring. It's a pretty memorable one. It was an overhand. And Matheus Rebecki, 3-0 in the UFC. Looked pretty good so far, but I got action. I think Ferreira has action here. A lot of time off. A lot of time to get in the lab, get fresh, get healthy. For plus 315, give me that. He has experience against top guys. He hasn't beaten most of them, but he's been in there with them.
Yeah.
And he's fought some decent fights against them.
And then the experience paid off this past weekend.
Facts. You picked the right time to not make a living betting on the old guy or betting against the old guys.
Yeah, I know.
You said it. I'm not doing it this week, and it paid off.
Yeah.
This one right here, I think this could be a fight of the night, bro. I was going to put a little like alarm sound effect on. I want to start doing that whenever we have a badass striking matchup, because that's what this is right here.
Is a guy.
Yup. 6'2 at the featherweight division. That is ridiculous. And his nickname's the Sniper, rightfully so. This guy is a sniper. I got it written down somewhere here. He's 5-1 in the UFC, 4-fight win streak, but his only loss was against Julian Arosa. He got submitted, and Alex Caceres has a win over Julian Arosa. I'm not really playing too much into that because I think Caceres is too old for that featherweight division against a really good striker like Woodson. I don't think he has enough speed left, I guess.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like Woodson here, minus 190, probably by decision. I think it'll be a somewhat technical fight. It won't be a war, but it's going to be very high-level striking.
Yeah, I agree.
And then I got one more for this card. I'm talking about Robles de Spain. So this guy made his UFC debut on the Sugar card, UFC 299. He's 37 years old or 35 years old. He's from Cuba. And he grew up as a Taekwondo guy, was on the Cuban national team for 15 years, and he was a bronze medalist in Taekwondo in the Olympics in 2012, though. So 12 years ago. Started training MMA in 2019, first professional fight in 2022. And I think his last four fights, he's finished all of them in the first round in under 20 seconds, including his UFC debut. So this is a guy right here. I'm going to bet him by first round knockout again. Cortez Acosta, I think he's attempted one takedown in his UFC career. So he's not going to be going that avenue, or he won't be able to, I don't think. So give me Despain here by knockout and tune into that one. He's a guy. And 35 is not that old for heavyweight.
I like it. I'm excited for this card.
Me too.
All right. So I wanted to ask you, bro, because I pay a lot of attention to the sports world. I'd like to think I do. We're all busy with our lives, but I feel like I'm a lot of up to date with the sports world. But there's just some things that go on in the sports world that have nothing to do with the sport that I'm just not like caught up in or like anything. So like, for example, like the Drake and Kendrick beef, I have no clue what it is. I have no clue how it started or what it is or whatever. So I'm just like, whatever, like I don't care. Same thing with this Conor and Sugar beef, bro. I don't know what happened. I've been waiting to come on here and ask you. I'm glad you put it on here. What happened? Give it to me. I literally have no clue what happened.
So McGregor just fires a shot in the dark out of nowhere. Let me try and get the exact quote up here. But he posted an Instagram thing after Ryan Garcia popped for steroids. And he basically was going off on Ryan Garcia, talking about how he juiced and he missed weight and he's disrespectful to the sport. And then he throws Sugar in there for all the same exact things because he popped for that tainted substance supplement a few years ago. So he basically just went off on Sugar too, said he was bad for the sport. Let's see. I don't even see the exact quote, but he said, and he offered to fly O'Malley out to spar him. So he's basically just on cocaine on Twitter doing his thing. Sugar got caught in the crossfire. And Sugar was kind of sad about it on his podcast. I saw his response. He was just like, man, fuck Conor. We're kind of saying it joking, crying, when you're doing a bit.
Yeah.
And then he's just he said, I hope Chandler knocks him out now. That's pretty much all he said.
Okay. Yeah.
I
mean, I don't know, bro. Conor just, you can't really, I mean, I get it. That's kind of Sugar's role model and how he wanted to model his, and he's still got to model your career after. But you just can't really ever not trust him. But you just can't get too close to him.
Yeah, I can't take it too serious.
Yeah.
I was in the same boat. I wasn't too worked up or concerned about it, but we just kind of needed some extra space on the topics. Yeah. NBA playoffs, Timberwolves, they're looking deadly. Are they the title favorites now, or am I overreacting?
I don't want to keep over here, keep saying overreacting, because it's not. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to keep saying it. They're 6-0 in the playoffs, bro. It's hard to do. They beat stole two games for the Nuggets on the road.
They didn't even steal. They kicked down the door, grabbed those things, and punched them in the face on the way out.
You're going back to Minnesota. Your mindset is you just have to get one. You get one in Minnesota, I don't know, dude. It's weird because I can't see OKC or Minnesota in the finals.
Just doesn't feel right. Does not feel right at all.
But it's I don't know. Denver's going to lose, and then I don't ever trust the Mavs.
Yeah, we almost have to at this point.
I don't trust the Mavs. I think OKC beats the Mavs. That's the thing, bro. I really think it's going to be OKC and Minnesota in the conference finals.
It's crazy. They were the one.
I do think, bro, if Denver can steal one. I think if Denver goes down 3-1, I think they still have action. I think that's still a tough get. I don't want to say for sure because I think 3-1 they can close it out, but I think if Minnesota doesn't close it out at home, I think Denver has action. I think if Denver can get one and they're go back to Denver down 3-2, I don't think they lose a closeout game at home. So it'd be.
Is it 2-2 and 2 like that? Or is it? Would it be game 6 in Minnesota? Oh, so game 6 would be Minnesota, I think.
Game 6 would be Minnesota. A lot of pressure on Minnesota. They have to close that game out at home. Then you go back to game 7, anything happens.
Yeah. And we saw Denver do it against they did it against the Clippers in the bubble, I think. Obviously, it was the bubble.
And I just don't think. I think Denver's too good to lose in 5. So I think Denver somehow, some way wins that game 6. And then you get to 7, and it's like.
Bro, did you see that the executive that helped build the current Nuggets team went to Minnesota in 2022? That's crazy. Bro, executives really run the freaking sport. Like Jerry West.
Yeah.
Wherever he went, championships followed.
Yeah.
Crazy, man.
Gonna be good to see.
Yep. You got anything else?
I don't.
Before we get out of here? Me neither.
No, sir.
All right, we'll see y'all next week for Barboza versus Murphy fight night, I believe, and we'll be recapping St. Louis. I bet we're gonna have some like video clips to show on here of just some crazy stuff that happens, either highlights or controversial moments or entertaining things. I got high hopes for St. Louis this weekend.
Yes, sir.
All right, then. Doses.